We continue in our 2020 vision series today. We've had four foci for that, and the first one is worship. We spent a lot of time talking about how we exalt God by offering meaningful expression of praise. We've been engaged in that this morning. Hope you're doing it with hearts that are reflective of God's goodness and desiring to uplift Him. We've talked recently about the learn topic, and we study and preach and teach God's Word in order to understand and obey it. The fourth one that we'll get to later is serve, when we use our spiritual gifts to reach the lost and to edify believers. But this morning we move to the third one, and that is connect. When we talk about connect, we mean that we seek to cultivate an environment for unified fellowship of believers as a spiritual family in Christ. We know that we are cherishing this morning the opportunity to connect as God's family. We're very thankful that over these last few months that connection transcends physical gathering, and that we are always in God's presence, that we are together in spirit even when apart, but connecting as a physical gathering is also part of God's plan for us, and so we are thankful for that opportunity to do so safely and freely today. I'm going to read a list of statements, and there's going to be an A option and a B option, and you, in your mind, just keep track of whether you identify more with A or with B. Okay, which describes you best? A, being around too many people drains your energy. Some of you, or maybe you're more like B, you draw energy from being around people. All right, keep track. Number two is either A, people think you're quiet and hard to get to know, or B, you are very outgoing and enjoy meeting new people. Here's the third one. A, you generally go with the flow, or B, you tend to question everything and you're often eager for change. Number four, this one's about going out to eat. If you're going out to eat, you hope someone else will pick a restaurant. That's A. Or B, you have the restaurant in mind and you're going to convince everyone to go where you want to go. Number five is kind of similar. Either A, you keep your opinions to yourself and try to avoid confrontation, or B, you enjoy spirited dialogue and debate. Next, number six, A, people have to ask you what you're thinking, or B, no one ever has to wonder what you're thinking. And last, either A, the stay-at-home order barely impacted you, or B, you were stir-crazy and had cabin fever very quickly. All right, so take kind of a mental inventory about whether you had either mostly A's or mostly B's or somewhere in between, and you've probably looked at some of these kind of tests before, and so you're aware that if you answered mostly in the A category, that psychologists would categorize you as an introvert. If you had mostly B answers, then you are more like an extrovert. Maybe the third category you might not have heard of, but if you had a lot of A's and a lot of B's, or none of these statements really described you, you were somewhere in between, then psychologists might say you're an ambivert. You're a little bit of both. So maybe you clearly identify with one, or maybe you're sitting next to someone that you were thinking, yeah, that's you, or this is me. But regardless of whether you're introvert, extrovert, or even an ambivert, we all, whether we realize it or not, need connection. We thrive on connection. Even introverts, it's sometimes doesn't always have to be voiced, but there is still the subconscious awareness of those relationships that we network, that we fellowship, that we connect. And that is because, this morning's message titled, God has created us for that. We are created to connect. It's an important part of our makeup. That is how we are oriented as people. No other creatures are created to connect, but we thrive on it. In fact, one in three people alive on our planet today is an active Facebook user. That's not just America, that's the whole globe. And it's not just adults, that's from infant to elderly in America, Asia, Africa, Antarctica, Russia. One in three, over 2.6 billion active Facebook users. Many of those who aren't are on other social media platforms because we're looking to see other people, to connect with what others are doing. Solitary confinement is one of the harshest forms of punishment that we use as humans to disconnect someone from others, because connection is a vital part of our makeup. So those in solitary confinement, many will go insane. Many will resort to completely irrational behavior and even self-harm. Those in solitary confinement, it said, come to amputating their own fingers, jumping off their beds head first, because we need connection. Even in our house, when someone misbehaves, they have to go on time out. To be alone, that's a punishment, to be apart from people. Now, it's not the same when you know there are others you could connect with if you want to. When you know there's no one you can connect with, even if you want to, there is something in our psychology that breaks down because we are created to connect. Well, God made us this way, and it's part of a reflection of His image. So as we look at four principles of connection that resurface throughout Scripture, number one is that God exists in triune connection. God is a connecting God, a relationship-oriented God, and that didn't begin with creation. It transcends time. God has always been a connection-oriented being because of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son were connected with each other, fellowshipping with each other in a unified communion before time, outside of time, loving each other, fellowshipping with each other. God didn't start practicing love and connection when He created. No, this was always part of His nature. That connection is an intimate connection. We'll look at several scripture passages this morning, and they won't be on the screen, so get ready to turn with me, or if you don't have your Bible, you can just listen carefully. We'll start with the two in-beginning books. First is John. John starts with "in the beginning." Next we'll go to Genesis and read about "in the beginning" again. But as we read about a God who exists in triune connection, we understand, starting with John 1, that is an intimate connection. It's an intimate connection. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is an intimate connection. Verse 18 says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." That picture of the Son being in the bosom of the Father connotes that intimate connection. It's also a mutually glorifying connection. Look at chapter 16. John chapter 16. Mutually glorifying, meaning the different members, the different persons within the Godhead glorify one another. John 16, verses 13 through 15. Jesus says, "When He, the Spirit of truth, is come," verse 14, "He shall glorify Me." The Spirit glorifies the Son. Verse 15, "All things that the Father hath are Mine." The Father has glorified the Son. Elsewhere, Jesus will say that He has glorified the Son. Chapter 17, that Jesus has glorified the Father. Chapter 17, verse 4, "I have glorified Thee on earth." Jesus, God the Son, speaking to God the Father, "I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." A picture that we can't fathom, that we can't imagine, we can't comprehend, but a God who exists in eternal triune connection. Well, God has created us to reflect that connecting orientation. And so we recognize, second this morning, that we exist. We don't have triune connection, but we exist for dual connection. And all that means is that we're designed to connect with God, and we're designed to connect with each other. Part of being in God's image may be that He, as a relationship-oriented being, has made us relationship-oriented beings. Let's go back to the other in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. You can help the person next to you find it. Genesis chapter 1, God has created us for dual connection. First, connection with God. We're designed to connect with God. Here's this triune connected God speaking in the plural in verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image and give him dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So as God creates man, He creates him as a relational being, both with a relationship over the animal kingdom and relationship under the God who has created him. And then later in chapter 3 and verse 8, we read about how Adam and Eve would hear the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And in verse 9, saying, "Where art thou?" God seeking that fellowship, that connection with His people. We were designed to connect with God. We're designed next to connect with other humans. Chapter 2 here in Genesis, and look at, starting in verse 18, several verses. After creating the animal kingdom, the physical universe, the plants and the water and everything, the space, and saying that it was good, God says within His triune connection, verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." God has created us for connection, and it is not good to be alone. So He says, "I will make him an help, meet for him, a counterpart suitable for him, a completer to relate to and with him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. This isn't the original creation of these animals. It seems the Lord is bringing one of each species before Adam for a naming ceremony as a companion is sought for Adam. Every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet, a companion suitable for him. So Adam said, "Okay, I'll call that a turtle. It's cool, but not really a companion. I'll call that a giraffe. Okay, yeah, we get along, but not a companion suitable for me. Maybe a horse. Some people have a close bond with a horse, but not a true companionship." And when the cat came along, there was just keep going. And then the dog, there's some companionship with a dog. A dog can even start to understand you a little bit, maybe. But though there might be a sense of companionship, you can't have communion with a dog in the form of a connection that God desires. Next was, he said, "I'll call that a parrot, and they can have a conversation," but it's still not communion. There was no companion found for Adam. So the Lord God, verse 21, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Here is one who is the same kind as me, from me, made the same, of the same, one with whom I can commune. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Now there was a companion. Now creation was complete. Very good, because man had someone to connect with in terms of his relationship with God and someone to connect with in terms of relationship with others. The animals can provide companionship, but it's not the same because they can't truly know you. Part of the fulfilling aspect of a relationship is to know someone and to be known by them. One of the things that makes friendships, marriages, family relationships so special is that you learn to know each other. You learn to avoid each other's dislikes and pursue each other's likes. And you know how to tease that other person and how to cheer them up because you know them. What a joy it is to be known. Sarah and I celebrated our 9th wedding anniversary this past week, and so we were going to have dinner together to order food, and I told her, you might want to order before I get home from work, and so you can go ahead and order for me, and I'm sure I'll like it. And that is a trust that I would not extend to any other human on earth. But I do to Sarah because she knows me. In fact, I trust that if she ordered for me, I'd probably end up getting something I like better than if I ordered for myself. And that is the pleasure of being known and of knowing a connection that God has made us for. But we know the problem, and that is that sin disconnects. That though God had created this world with communion that reflected His own, both in a vertical relationship and in a horizontal relationship, that evil was lurking. And the humans chose sin. In verse 8, when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You notice immediately that connection with God is broken. Instead of communion, now there's separation. Now there are hiding. There is that barrier of sin. God still desires that fellowship, and He called to Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest eat not?" And just as that sin broke the vertical connection, the relationship between God and man, it also broke the horizontal connection, as verse 12, the man said, "The woman who thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." So here's Adam, with just a couple verses earlier, is spouting this beautiful poetic praise of this woman, that his completer. Now, when sin has come, the only thing he has to say to or about her is, "She did it. It's her fault." Where there was once perfect communion, now there's strife, disconnection because of sin. So God created us to connect, and sin breaks that connection, both between us and Him and between us and each other. God desires to reform, to rebuild, to reconnect those relationships. And it is for, in large part, those reasons He instituted the church. So number 3, the church exists to cultivate connection, to restore what God created us for and intends for us to enjoy and to exemplify. The church exists to bring people to God and to bring people together. That's not meant to be a definition of the whole goal of the church, but in large part, that is what we strive for, to bring people to God and to bring people together. To bring people to God, looking at 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, a few verses about that ministry that God has entrusted to the church. Those of us who have come to know God, who have had that relationship renewed so that we enjoy a connection with God, He has called us to help others form that they are apart from God, estranged from God. And so he entrusts to us the ministry of reconciliation, helping lost people to reconnect with the God they were created to commune with. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We have the ministry of reconciliation to help others who are disconnected from the God who created them for relationship to be reconciled, to come to him, to form that sustaining connection that gives hope, that gives fulfillment, that gives life and gives eternal life. A ministry of reconciliation by bringing people to God, but the church exists to cultivate connection by bringing people together. That as saved people, we would form a network of strong earthly relationships as a spiritual family in Christ. That is God's design. Not even just for to be a picture or to prepare us for what is next, but so that in this age, God can be pleased as we do what he created us to do by connecting with each other. The passage here is Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, a description of how the church exists to cultivate that earthly connection, the human connection between brothers and sisters in Christ. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41, the Bible says that they that gladly received his word, the gospel, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So there are many people who are reconciled to God, and now they're to be connected with each other. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's an important connection word. And breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. Another important connection word. And had all things common. Another communion word. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord, that unity there again in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and a singleness of heart, more connection language, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God created the church so that we might strengthen relationships with each other. And that is going to be the foundation for commandments throughout the New Testament of how we as brothers and sisters in Christ, as fellow members of the church, are to treat one another. If you search one another, 50 plus passages in the New Testament that command us about how to treat one another as we form and strengthen and cultivate that connection to love one another, to greet one another, to pray for one another, to exhort one another, to spur one another on to love and good works. We'll look at several of those as we continue the connection series. It's interesting that that's an important part of church. When back in March, we moved all our services online. It's interesting to see both in our church and across the country that viewership was very high. And in fact, even as we got toward Easter, people were reaching more through online services than they ever had attending on-site services. And it was exciting. But kind of the novelty of watching online maybe started to wear off. The excitement of sitting on your couch in pajamas and drinking coffee while you listen to a sermon maybe started to lose its great appeal for some of us. But since Easter, both here at Thompson Road and again across the nation, as statistics are reported, those numbers started to taper off. And now viewership is lower than it has been, as people start to realize, I think a big part of it is that a church service can't really operate as God intended when it's completely remote. Then we had a chat bar and people could say hi to each other. And so we had some just kind of a ghost of connection there that has kept us going and that has been healthy and has helped us to obey the command to not forsake the assembly. We assembled in the form that we could, but it hasn't been the same because part of the church's function is that personal, horizontal connection with others as God's people that He has created us for. We are reconciled to God. When that happens, we recognize that we are known. What a joy to be known. And we are in a journey of getting to know Him and cultivating that relationship. The church is here to help with that. And to know that God knows you completely, everything about you, and still wants a relationship with you. And then as we connect horizontally, as a church family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, get to know each other on a deeper level than how are you. And as we know each other, as we start to confess our faults one to another, as we quickly see each other's flaws and the extrovert that bothers you because you're an introvert and you're an ambivert and you just as soon avoid this person that's like not even a category, they have their own vert. But we know each other and yet we're interested in cultivating a relationship. That is a beautiful picture of God's love that He has designed the church to cultivate. We do so knowing, number four, that creation will ultimately culminate in connection. God created us for connection. At first, mankind enjoyed a perfect connection with each other and with God that was broken by the barrier of sin. But someday, God will remove that, will win the final victory over sin and death, and hell will be eradicated forever. And those who trust God, those who choose to be reconciled, He doesn't want anyone disconnected from Him. So He offers that connection. He makes it available through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. He proclaims the word through the church, believers, and through His inspired scripture so that everyone has the opportunity to restore that relationship. And so those who do can enjoy connection as He intended for eternity. We go from the first book to the last and look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. Beginning in verse 3, as John sees a vision of what that will be like, God allows him to tell us this glimpse. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." And He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And for eternity, those who are His chosen can enjoy that connection that He designed us for throughout the ages. Four takeaways. What we do with this is we disconnect a little bit and go our separate ways. One, appreciate your makeup. The way that you are made. The fact that you are created for connection. The God of the universe created you to connect, and He desires a connection with you. If you're not saved, God desires a connection with you. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior and had your sins forgiven, the frustration you're experiencing in life, the frustration, the emptiness, the loneliness you experience in life can only be perfectly solved by that connection being formed through Christ. as you admit your sinfulness, believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, and trust Him for forgiveness and salvation, turning to Him away from yourself. For those who have been saved, He desires that that connection grow deeper. He knows you perfectly and loves you anyway, and He desires that you know Him better, that you strengthen that connection. If there's any deficiency in your earthly relationships or in your heavenly relationship, if there are barriers with either of those connections, you know the frustration when you're trying to make a phone call and there's a weak connection, any frustration you're experiencing in life, any emptiness, any loneliness is equivalent result to the struggles in those relationships. That the more distant your connection with God is, the more distant your connection with others is, to that extent you will experience loneliness, emptiness, and frustration. So we appreciate that makeup. And number two, we make church our context for connection. God has led you to Thompson Road Baptist Church, and as you look around this morning, these are the people that God wants you to cultivate a close earthly relationship with, and He has created you in a special way to do that. He has led you here so that we can function as a perfect, diverse, and yet unified body. We can have close friendships in our neighborhoods and at work, and of course the closest of human relationships will be in the home, but beyond that, seek to make church your context for your closest connections. Three is be connected and be a connector. What that means is to be connected is opening yourself up to others. Getting beyond how are you and being willing to tell people what's going on in your life. Being willing to meet outside of church. And being a connector is reaching out to that person who hasn't opened up, to ask some questions, to pry a little bit, and to get involved in someone's life who is not very connected. And then finally, put the time in. Number four, put the time in. You know, strained earthly relationships where maybe a parent is at work 60 plus hours a week and rarely sees the family, or maybe it's a father who's estranged because of a divorce or other things, that when they see that person, they can try to make up for that loss of time by gifts or extravagant outings, but it's never the same. Because a relationship is cultivated when we put the time in. And so in your relationship with God, put the time in. Open His Word daily. Turn off everything else. Get in your private place and commune with the One who desires to connect with you. As often as you're able, come together as a church body at our services, even at our other ministries that offer opportunities for you to connect as God's people, or even on your own as you arrange meetings. Put the time in. Be here. Be with each other. And invest in those relationships that God has created you for. As we do that, we cultivate an environment for unified fellowship of believers as a spiritual family in Christ.